أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآله Verse number 37 from Surah A'raf فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ أولئك ينالهم نصيبهم من الكتاب حتى إذا جاءتهم رسلنا يتوفونهم قالوا أينما كنتم تدعون من دون الله قالوا ضلوا عنا وشهدوا على أنفسهم أنهم كانوا كافرين So who is a greater wrongdoer than him who fabricates a lie against Allah or denies his signs? Their share as decreed in the book shall reach them. Until when our messengers come to take them away, they will say, Where is that which you used to invoke beside Allah? They will say they have forsaken us, and they will testify against themselves that they were faithless. Now, as a consequence of the verses that we had before. Verse number 35, after explaining all those lessons that we should learn from the story of Adam and Eve, said that, O children of Adam, if there come to you apostles from among yourselves, recounting to you my signs, then those who are God-weary and righteous will have no fear. And of course, those who deny our signs and are disdainful to them shall be in the inmates of the fire. So here, as a consequence, it says, so who is a greater wrongdoer? Despite all those messengers, despite all those guidance who came to me, who is a greater wrongdoer who does all these things? فَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ Of course, this أَظْلَمْ is to be more in the state of ظُلْم. And ظُلْم is to bring harm to one's own self or to others. And here, of course, bringing harm to themselves, people who's the more wrongdoer or a greater wrongdoer means that who is the one who brings the most harm to themselves than those who are doing this. After having seen all these signs and communications, Well, of course, the sentence is in interrogative mood, but it is actually indicative mood. It is informing us that this is the case. Whoever does this is the most wrongdoer to themselves. They wrong themselves. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ Now, two things are mentioned here. One is fabricating lie against Allah, and the other is denying Allah's signs or verses. Now, of course, in the continuation, we know that iftara ala Allah is shirk. If someone associates a partner to God, has actually fabricated a lie against Allah, or on the mouth of Allah, saying that Allah is telling us to do these things. As we had in the previous verses, that whenever they did a fahisha or indecent act or whatever is wrong, they said, وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا Allah has ordered us to do this. So this is called iftira, fabricating a lie against Allah. Allah has never said this. Now, the mushrikun usually, what they did, because of course it was quite obvious that those idols who they worshipped had not created them, had not created the world. What they said was that, yes, of course, God has created us. Or according to the mushrikun of Jaziratul Arab, they said Allah has created us. However, Allah has put these idols in charge, and he has told us to worship them, not him, because he is so sublime, so high, that we cannot worship him. He should somehow manifest himself in these idols. These idols are his manifestations, or the means or mediums that through which we can reach to God, and therefore we are worshipping them because of God. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لَيُقَرِّبُونَا إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We are worshipping them so that they take us closer to God. Now, here, of course, this is افتراءً على الله. This is fabrication. This is slandering something against Allah. Allah has never said this, has never put a medium between himself and his creation. And therefore, this is افتراءً على الله. Now, one thing which always comes up here is that, okay, what about these prophets, saints, awliya Allah, to whom we turn, we seek help, we seek prayers, we seek istighfar. As even in the Quran it says, for example, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ وَسَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Pray for them because your prayer is comfort for them, is peace for them, brings them peace. That means you are a medium between God and them, so to speak. Or for example, shafa'a, tawassul. What about all these things? Aren't these as well iftira'an ala Allah? No, it is not iftira'an ala Allah, because these things we do not worship. We just think that they are highly placed and they can somehow bring the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he has destined to come, not they destined. They never have any decision to take for themselves. They never can do anything on their own. It's all the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has made it this way. Just to give you an example, if you want a child, you have to have a wife or you have to have a husband. Okay, because of course, ladies give birth to children, we put the example like that. If you want to have a child, you have to have a wife. Now, you may say, Ya Allah, give me a child without any means, without anything, and I don't want any medium between me and you. I just want a child from you. Well, he says, this is not possible. You have to go through the means that I have put. So is this shirk, for example, to say that the children cannot come to existence unless you have a medium here, you have a husband and wife to come in the middle? This is, of course, a sort of shafa'ah in the general term, shafa'ah in the sense that they actually bring down the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the sun brings the grace of Allah in terms of heat, light, everything to this earth. It is the shafi between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or wasila between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot say even if the sun does not exist, the earth would have existed, because God has the power to do it. Well, of course, God has put the power in this way. Now, a more clearer example in the terms of human beings is guidance. You never can have guidance without medium of certain people who can receive this guidance. As you remember from the beginning, in the beginning of Surah A'raf, Allah mentioned that this is a book revealed to the people. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. Follow what has been revealed to you, people, from your Lord. Or in Surah Nahl, for example, it says ونزلنا عليك الكتاب لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم. This book is revealed to the people, and we have sent you this so that you explain for them what has been revealed to them. Okay, if it's revealed to us, why doesn't it come directly to us? Why through a medium? Because that medium has the capacity to receive it. We don't have the capacity. Allah wills to send it down to us, but we cannot receive it. The receiver in us is so weak, we cannot receive it, and therefore someone who has a stronger receiver, has stronger capacity, bigger capacity, receives it and gives it to us. This mediation is not iftira'un ala Allah. What is iftira'un ala Allah is to say that, well, these mediums can decide for themselves. These mediums decide for our faith or whatever. It is not possible. Everything is, if it is with permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, If it is something that goes according to laws and sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course that is not iftira an Allah. If it is independent, this is what of course the mushrikun believe, that Allah has put our destiny in the hands of these idols and they can decide themselves. Not as a medium, but as someone who has been delegated the authority. Allah never delegates authority to anyone. To no prophet, to no imam, to no wali, no authority is delegated ever. However, His grace comes through means. That's a different issue. So, iftira an Allah here means shirk, means associating partners to Allah and putting it in the mouth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that He has told us to worship them. Or kadhaba bi-ayati, denies His signs, means of course either kufr or absolute denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where kufr is when of course the messengers come, they bring signs of Allah with them, they bring communication of Allah with them, and still the mushrikun deny it. Still those who are in denial do not accept it. Or some people absolutely deny God. So these are those who kadhaba bi-ayatih. And these ayat, for those who are in absolute denial, are those who do not see any sign of Allah in this world, in the order of this world, in themselves. So, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مَنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَنَالُهُمْ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Okay, what is the fate of these people who either deny or fabricate a lie against Allah? What is their destiny? Their share as decreed in the book shall reach them. That means because of their denial, because of their kufr, we are not going to stop them receiving our rahmah of the Rahman. We said we have rahmah of the Rahman and rahmah of the Rahim. They will, this kitab, this book here means the book of creation and the book according to which the share of every individual in this world has been decreed regardless of whether they are faithful or faithless. As we have mentioned this before, when we come to this world, although Allah knows whether we are going to turn towards kufr or to turn towards iman, He has given us equal share, of course according to our differences, eyes, ears, intelligence, talent, all these things have been distributed in a book, in a written decree of Allah before all these things. So there is a share that everyone would partake in the blessings of this world. And their kufr or their iman has no influence on that. They will reach that. Now, of course, iman may bring new favors. Kufr may somehow bring some calamities. But these calamities are not usually in the share of life. They are usually in the heart. It's the blindness of heart or openness of the heart which comes. So don't think that if someone denies God or fabricates a lie against God should be deprived of their share of life. Allah would not deprive them of their share of life. So أُولَٰئِكَ يَنَالُهُمْ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Their share of the book reaches them. Now, this is a very interesting expression, because it doesn't say that they reach the share that Allah has destined for them in the book. No, that share would reach them. That means it is absolutely definitive that they will receive what is decreed for them. And that is why we shouldn't be really much worried about our sustenance. Our sustenance has been decreed by Allah and will reach us. Of course, sometimes we have to go and collect it, and sometimes it comes to us without even collecting it. Those things that we have to go and collect it is, yes, of course, we have to go to work, we have to be employed somewhere, or we have to make a business to collect what is destined for us. We cannot get more than what is destined for us. Yes, we cannot get less by not collecting it. That's a different issue. However, there are certain things that no matter what you do will reach you. And that's why we are told that rest assured. Be at rest about what belongs to this world. إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسِ نَفَثَ فِي رُوعِي لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى اسْتَوْفَى رِزْقَهُ. There is a hadith in this meaning that Ruh al-Qudus put in my heart, brought to my heart that no soul will die until they completely exhaust their rizq. Before having our rizq exhausted, we would not die. What is destined for us will come to us. So you may say, oh, well, this is jabr. So what is the point? What is the point? If this is jabr, if it's all destiny, why should we strive? What should we try again? Try at all? Now, we shouldn't be much worried about rizq and sustenance on try, put all our efforts for that. What is in our hand is the destiny which makes the next life good or bad, is the destiny of our actions. This is in our hand. And in many, many different traditions we have that, for example, you are struggling for something which is guaranteed for you and leave something which is not guaranteed for you. What is not guaranteed for you is paradise. What is not guaranteed for you is your actions, the way you decide to do things. This is not guaranteed for you. You have absolute freedom in this, and you have to try for that. For a'mal, a'mal is not guaranteed for you. What is guaranteed for you is for your sustenance. Now, either less or more. So, the kuffar or the mu'minun in this are equal. They will receive their share. Whatever Allah has decreed for them, they will receive their share. Allah is not going to revoke what has He decreed for a mu'min or for a kafir because of their kufr. Except in very, very special circumstances when the umam are destroyed completely. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِغَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, as we discussed before. So, also in Surah Isra we have كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْذُورًا. Both the believers and non-believers, we give from the bounty of your Lord, from the gifts of your Lord. We give them. This gift is not prevented, is not restricted. They receive it. What is restricted is, of course, what depends on their a'mal, on their actions. If they do not acquire something good in their heart, then that is their destiny. So, أُولَٰئِكَ يَنَالُهُمْ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ حَتَّى. Okay, until when? Now, this is where destiny goes away, free will comes in. So destiny is about life. We have come to this world not with our own free will, it's destiny. God has destined us to live. We have come to this world as a man or woman, not with our free will, it's destiny. And we have a share of what Allah has destined for us, not with our free will, it's a destiny. And all these verses in the Quran, I don't know how many dozens of them probably we have, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ وَيَقْدَرُ. Allah expands the rest or limits the rest for people according to His wisdom. Now, if we believe in Him and love Him and believe in His wisdom, we are always happy, always satisfied that this is what You have given us. Less or more, it doesn't matter. This is what Your wisdom has decreed. We are very happy with it. This is, of course, destiny until. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا يَتَوَفَّوْنَهُمْ. Until when our messengers come, and these messengers are the angels of death. Until when our messengers come to take them away. So messengers are not only from human beings. Messengers can be from angels as well. And even the messengers who bring the revelation are among angels and among human beings. Allahu yastafi min al-mala'ikati rusulan wa min al-nas. Allah chooses from among the angels and from among the human beings messengers. Of course, the choice from among the people, we know the criteria. You have to be from Siddiqeen. You have to absolutely love Allah. And after all this, Allah will choose someone to become a messenger. Among the angels, we don't know. Why Jibreel has been chosen from among the angels to bring the message, we don't know. They have their own sort of criteria, set of criteria that Allah will choose from among them someone to bring the message. However, it's not only those messengers. Anyone who is on a mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any angel who's on a mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a messenger of God. Now, therefore, we have messengers of life, messengers of death, and don't think that messengers of life are better than messengers of death. When we go to the next world, we will thank messengers of death too. Have taken us from this world to the next world, inshallah. So, hatta idha ja'atum, of course, not in this state, because these messengers are very rash and angry to the people who have been wrongdoers in this world. Hatta idha ja'atum rusuluna yatawaffawnahum, until when our messengers come to take them away. Now, when the messengers yatawaffawnahum, tawaffi is to take something fully. This is the meaning of tawaffi. And when we are moving from this world to the other world, Allah wants to make sure that we know that nothing of us is lost. We are fully taken in a complete way. Our soul is taken from this world to the next. Nothing is left behind. No act, no thought, no intention, everything together. This is tawaffi. Our messengers take them fully. Tawaffi. وَقَالُوا in Surah Fussilat, وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا ظَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. They say, when we die and we are lost in the earth, we become dust, and then these dust will scatter here and there. We are absolutely lost in the earth. وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا ظَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, when we are lost in the earth, أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, are we going to be in a new creation? How come? قُلْ, this is a very, very beautiful answer. Tell them, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ. Tell them, مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ, the angel of death, would fully receive you and will fully keep you intact. This is a complicated angel, Malakul Maut, because it's not only that they take us from this world to the next world, from this dimension to the other dimension, they make sure that this is done in the best possible way. Just like a midwife who wants to actually bring a child to this life, to this world, making sure that everything is in place, the child is not going to be strangled, the child is not going to receive any harm. These angels are like that. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. They receive you fully, they place you in barzakh, and then you will return to your Lord. So these angels, يَتَوَفَّوْنَهُمْ, they fully receive them. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا يَتَوَفَّوْنَهُمْ. Now, these angels will tell them, قَالُوا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, where is that which you used to invoke beside Allah? Apparently, not only, this is not a conversation between Malakul Maut and the people. This is a conversation which comes afterwards. Because if you look into these verses, the span of time is somehow very speedily traveled from this life to Barzakh to Akhira. So there is a sort of sequence of events which happen after people die. So apparently this قَالُوا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ is the question of Nakir and Munkar in the grave. These are also messengers. But these are not messengers of death. These are messengers of realization, bringing realization, recognition to the soul. And therefore, now, most of the Exodus say that it is the angels of death themselves who start to question them. But there is no point for that. This is about those who have fabricated a lie against God, or who has denied his signs and are destined to be decided about in the barzakh, on the first night of their death. If you remember, we discussed this, that this musa'alatul qabr, the questioning in the grave, is not for everyone. Is only for those whose fate will be decided immediately there and then. And they know either they are going to paradise or they are going to hell. The ordinary people, people who are in the middle like us, we wouldn't have any questioning there. The questioning is left for the day of judgment, because the angels cannot yet decide what to do with us. Our fate is not yet clear. We are pending, we are in a limbo, so to speak, until the final decision of God comes. Either we are encompassed and enveloped by his rahmah, or the rahmah, we cannot receive it and we go to hell. And this is why in many, many traditions from A'imma alayhimus salam, and also most of our honorable theologians like Sheikh Mufid, Sayyid Murtaza and others, they have said that the questioning in the grave is only for مَنْ مَحَّذَ الْإِيمَانَ مَحْذًا أَوْ مَحَّذَ الْكُفْرَ مَحْذًا. Those who are purely believers, that means there is no hisab or mizan or anything for them. They don't need it anymore. They are decided there and then they go to paradise in barzakh and paradise in akhirah. They have no fear, no sadness. There are certain people who are absolutely evil, purely evil. Then they are questioned by angels so that they realize what they have done, and the decision is made for them there and then, and they don't need, again, no mizan, no sirat or whatever. They don't pass over the sirat or things which are there to actually process people to go through Jannah. They don't need it because they have to directly go to hell. So this questioning, qalu, when the angels speak to them, this is probably other angels than the angels of death, because the angels of death have only one mission. Like a midwife, they take the soul from this world to this dimension to the other dimension. Of course, both are in this world. The akhirah comes later. قَالُوا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Where is that which you used to invoke besides Allah? It's just like the questioning that we say, مَنْ رَبُّكُ, who's your Lord? And these people will say, who's your Lord? And they see that Allah is not their Lord, because they never knew him, they never worshipped him. And they said, okay, our Lord is, for example, Jupiter or Saturn or Hubal or Uzza or whatever. They said, where are they? Who are these? We don't know them. Where are they? Who are these names that you are mentioning as your lords that you worshipped? They say, we don't know. They are not here. The only thing that they can now realize is Allah, isn't it? That's the world where we start meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say, قَالُوا ذَلُّوا عَنَّا. They say they have forsaken us, or we have lost them. They were with us. We were all our thoughts, love, heart were with them, but now we have lost them. And shahidu ala anfusihim, they testify against themselves. Why should they testify in grave? Because all these testifications is for the day of judgment. As we have people, also we have the same thing on the day of judgment, that they shahidu ala anfusihim, they testify against themselves. Now, this is because the fate of these people are decided there in the grave. And now, one very important thing is that unless you testify that you have done wrong, you wouldn't go to hell. unless you realize who you are, you wouldn't go to the place where you deserve to go. Now you may say, okay, why do these people testify against themselves? Why they just don't deny? They try to deny as well, but the denial would just bring more torture for them, more punishment in the sense for them. As in the Day of Judgment, some of the kuffar start to swear by Allah that they were not doing anything wrong. يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. The day when Allah brings them all to the justice, and they swear for Him as they swear for you. And they think that this is going to avail them. However, eventually they realize that this is what they deserve. And this is why the people in the hell never object against Allah. Never. They know that this is what they deserve. And they know that there is no other choice for them. The only people, the only things that they object to, and the only things or people that they curse are those who misled them. These are, as we have here, a conversation of the people of the hell. And the most difficult thing is in the hell is that you have to live with the one who has wronged you. You have to live with the wrong who has robbed you of your faith. You have to live together. And this is why hell is always a place of contention, argument, fighting. This is the sort of environment which prevails in the hell. Now, قَالُوا ذَلُّوا عَنَّا وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا Kafirin. Why here doesn't say annahum kanu mushrikeen? Because this is about mushrikun mainly. Because shirk is a kufr to the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one of the most important properties and capitals that we have, that we should use, is this link between us and God, which is realized by worship. So worship is something that all human beings are capable of. Now, if we put this worship on something which does not deserve it, now we may put it on an idol, we may put it on a prophet, we may put it on a king, we may put it on our hawa, on our desires. We may worship that. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Haven't you seen the one who has taken his or her desires as their God to be worshipped? Sometimes we worship them. So on those days, or on the moment of death, these people realize that they actually was ungrateful, just wasted this capital, this link which was to be materialized through worship. قال ادخلوا في أمم قد خلت من قبلكم من الجن والإنس في النار. Now this قال is singular. Previously the angels, جاءتهم رسلنا, our messengers came to them. قالوا, they said, in plural. Here is singular, therefore it refers to God. Allah tells them. قال ادخلوا في أمم قد خلت من قبلكم من الجن والإنس في النار. Now this has shifted to the Day of Judgment now. As I said, the span of time is so huge here, and the scenes shift from one moment in time to another moment in very, very distant time. قال ادخلوا في أمم قد خلت من قبلكم من الجن والإنس في النار. He will say, enter along with the nations who passed before you of jinn and humans into the fire. Now, here the exegetes have mentioned that this verse alludes very clearly that jinn, like human beings, have a specific duration of life, and they die after a while. Unlike Iblis, of course, Iblis has a very, very prolonged life. Of course, he will die one day as well, but very prolonged life, like, for example, Jesus, or like other people who have very long life. Of course, no comparison between Iblis and people like Jesus or Imam al-Asr alayhi salam, just to say that as some people can, by a miracle of Allah, have very, very long life, some jinn can have very, very long life as well. So, apart from that, jinn, like ants, they have a specific period of time decreed for them, an appointed time, they die. The angels of death will take them as they take us. And then some of us go earlier, sooner, some of us go later. قَالَ ادْخُلُوا فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ فِي النَّارِ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ passed before you. Doesn't mean that they went to hell before you. No, it means now all you and those who passed before you, lived before you, all you together go to the hell. كلما دخلت أمة لعنت أختها. Every time that a nation enters hell, it will curse its sisters. That means every nation in hell, every group, because again, in hell people go as groups because of the similar acts and because of the similar age of living, probably the era that they lived in. Probably they go together. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Those who have done wrong, the kuffar, they will go to hell in groups, in throngs. And about the people of paradise is the same thing as well. So, as we have discussed before, there is a social life there, and the society there has different communities of different people, different religions, and all these things, whether in hell, whether in paradise, whether on the day of judgment, people of different religions are separated from each other. Now you may say, would anyone other than Muslims would go to paradise? Yes, of course they go to paradise. However, they are living separate because they worshipped Allah in a slightly different manner. And in hell as well, the same thing. You have the quarters of Muslims, quarters of Christians, quarters of Jews, quarters of Buddhists and Mushrikun and all these things. You have different neighborhoods in hell as you have in paradise. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. Every time that a nation enters, it will curse. And this is from this تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, the infighting which goes on forever there. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. The fighting of people of hell is haq. Is haq, it means it is true, it will happen, or it means that it comes from their nature. It's haq because it comes from their nature. It's haq because it is their attitude of the soul will bring it. They cannot live any other way. They have to constantly fight against each other. كلما دخلت أمة لعنت أختها. Now, لعنة, of course, it may mean just as a casual curse. It may mean that they besiege God to bring more punishment to the other. And this is what is actually explained here. Yes, they ask Allah, they beseech God for more punishment for others. Now, would people of hell ever turn to God? Yes, they always turn to God. They know they deserve to be there. They always turn to God to be saved. And they always turn to God to curse each other because they are in absolute hatred against each other. If this is the case, if a person turns to God, would God just leave them? Would God just abandon them if someone turns to God? We know that in this world, if anyone turns to God, no matter what they have done, Allah would immediately turn to them because Allah is Tawwab. Himself, tawab means turning to something. So Allah is tawab, as people in this world may be tawab, and this attribute of tawab from God is very strong. As soon as you turn, as soon as you turn your face to Him, He turns to you. Why in the hell the case is not the case, like that? Why when these people are beseeching God, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na فَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. Our Lord, we can see now, we can hear now, please, please bring us out. And we will not do anything wrong again. The reason is, this doesn't come from the bottom of their heart. Still, this arrogance is there. They say it because they are punished. If they say it truly, they immediately come out. If they say it truly, they immediately come out. Because Allah then says that, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لَمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. If we bring them out, they still, they repeat what they used to do. Why? Because it's not from the bottom of their heart. They haven't realized yet. They have not repented yet from their heart. They just say it by their tongue because they are in torture, because they are in punishment. And that means, from the verse which I just mentioned, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لَمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. If they come out, they will just go back to what they used to do. If they come out and they don't go back to what they used to do, then they are, they deserve to be brought out and go to paradise. Because paradise, as I said, our free will phenomenally expand. And if someone with evil will goes to paradise, it would destroy everything. So if their will is corrected, and if their will is now shifted from evil to good, then Allah will bring them out. So كلما دخلت أمة لعنت أختها حتى إذا داركوا فيها جميعا. Okay, we leave this for next session, inshallah. I wouldn't be here for the next two Sundays. Inshallah, after that we will continue.
Thank you,
Muhammad. Yeah, next Sunday is it as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Ratinaj Sheikh. Very interesting discussion. I have a couple of questions, but anyway, we'll give it to the general public first. But just to clarify, as you concluded, that even if the people in Jahannam were to be brought out, they will still do the mischief. But there is no other third place, like there are only two places in the Day of Judgment, Jahannam and Jannah.
Yes.
So there is no other third place where they would be put sort of to...
So they have to be put in paradise and they do evil.
Yeah, but in the paradise they can't do evil, can they?
No, in the paradise you can't do evil because all evil is gone out of your heart.
So the, we will see. Allah is saying that even if I were to take them out, they will do the mischief because they are just...
So I wouldn't bring them out.
No, but for the people who are doing it, how will they know that, okay, they will do the same thing?
How would they know?
Yeah.
They don't know. It's only Allah who knows, and they have to stay there until Allah decides when they have to come out.
Okay. We open the floor for the brothers and sisters.
You see, we never can really understand these things because we are not going to go to hell, inshallah. So if someone goes to hell, would understand what does that mean?
Okay, thank you. Any sisters? Brothers? Safraz? Zahir? Dr. Sir? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is a sort of side issue from what you're discussing, but you mentioned it about other than Muslims going into heaven. I know that sort of in sort of modern times this is something which seems to have been accepted, but in the past, maybe apart from the Sufis, do we have any sort of evidence from either Sunni or Shi'i sources to suggest that non-Muslims would go to heaven? Because I think apart from the last 50 years or so, this idea was never sort of acceptable that non-Muslims or even individual madhabs would argue that apart from their madhab, everybody else will go to hell. And if we take it a bit further, that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, I mean, those people who did not accept the Prophet, but were from Ahlul Kitab, etc., would they have been considered that, yes, there is a possibility to go to paradise? And also, well, what is the purpose of a new religion if the old religions can lead you to heaven, if that is our aim in the first place?
Yeah, very good question. There are two aspects to this question. One is the other religions prior to the new prophets. Well, certainly, I mean, those who followed Musa alayhi salam prior to Isa, those who followed Isa prior to Muhammad, they certainly go to paradise. So, yes, in paradise we have Christians, we have Jews, we have Muslims, and we have other religions. That's Of course, no doubt about it. About those who, after coming of a prophet, still continue to be on their faith, well, their destiny is decided by God on many, many different factors. Did really receive the message rightly? Was the message conveyed to them in the right way? Were they sincere in following their religion, or were they just arrogant and rejecting? So all these factors would be taken into consideration before Allah would want to judge. And we have in our traditions, I know that, of course, the very orthodox literature would say non-Muslims will all go to hell. This hasn't been the case in Shi'i traditions. In most Sunni traditions we have this, except the Sufi tradition. In most Sunni traditions we have had this. In Shi'i traditions this has always been qualified in the sense that we have mustad'afun. We have those who, mustad'afun, are those who have not received the message well and have not been able to find which message is better than the other. And these will be, of course, judged accordingly. And the very, I think to be rational, the very fact that Allah has made Ahlul Kitab as people who are credible in their faith, that they have to follow their faith, they have to follow their book, they can do it, of course, they have to be able to live in Muslim society following their book, that means that, yes, of course, they will be judged in that way. I cannot imagine, well, you may say this is a modern thought, maybe, but I cannot imagine that someone considering all these factors would say unqualifiedly that all non-Muslims would go to hell.
Thank you, Sheikh. Any sisters want to expand on it or any other?
Sorry, just to follow up on that, but that doesn't mean that everyone would go to the same position. I mean, a Christian who hasn't fasted like a Muslim or hasn't done salat like a Muslim, first of all, they have to stay on Sirat for a long, long time to get the minimum qualities which come to soul by these practices to get to paradise. And secondly, when they get to paradise, their perfection is quite different from the perfection of someone who has followed all these. And the same way the Muslims. I mean, the Muslims who do not practice, they may go to paradise, but of course they don't get the perfection of those who have practiced these things.
Thank you, Sheikh Jamil.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
You mentioned about one thing which was very interesting, the fact that the rizq is something that Allah will give you anyway. What we should be striving for is being good so that we can, inshallah, go to heaven.
Yes.
If the rizq is assigned for us anyway, why is it that we get so many people in Africa and other places who are hungry and dying and whatever? So did Allah decide not to give them the rizq? Is that how it turned out to be?
Well, in these cases, Allah tells us that we are responsible. Okay? Allah says that I have destined this rizq. You see, we have to think about it on many different levels. Eventually, these people eat what is their share in this life. I mean, in that level, you cannot dispute it. This is what they receive. Who's responsible for it, God or us? That's a different issue. Okay? Eventually, this is their rizq. They receive it, and whether they die out of hunger or whatever, this is their rest. They receive it eventually. On another level, yes, God has held us responsible for that. That I have give you sustenance to use it collectively. Why have you used it like that with greed? That's a minority have used lots of this and a majority are deprived of that. We are held responsible. On another level, of course, it is Allah who has destined all these things there. Very complicated. I admit it's very complicated. But it doesn't take us, take away our responsibility. What is important is about our own selves. I think this is the most important thing. The rizq we receive is something destined for us. And the rizq we receive, we are commanded to give to others as well. Now, how we put all these together, this needs a very, very complicated equation.
So Allah is saying, I'm giving rizq for everybody, and it's for us to decide how to divide it. And some people take a lot more, they shouldn't be. Should be. So yeah. This striving business, so you're saying that people should strive to be a better person or whatever, but rather they going, for example, to actually accumulate wealth or whatever. So I don't see anything wrong with that.
Let me put it in this way. Amirul Mu'mineen says that ar-rizqu rizqan. There are two types of rizq. Rizqun yatlubuk wa rizqun tatlubuh. There is a rizq that you seek it and a rizq that it seeks you. Okay. The rizq that seeks you will come to you, no matter what you do. The rizq that you seek, again, has two different parts. Either Allah has destined it for you, you get it. Or He has not destined it for you, you don't get it. So if we go according to this equation, rizqun yatlubuk wa rizqun tatlubuk, a rizq which seeks you, a rizq that you seek it, a rizq which seeks you comes to you, a rizq that you seeks it, then of course you may get it. If it's destined for you, you may not get it if it's not destined for you. Now, is a rizq destined for these people in Africa who die out of famine? I would say yes, it is destined for them. However, they don't have the power to get it, because more powerful people have appropriated it. And therefore, it's our duty to go to. I think this would solve the problem.
Thank you. Any sisters before we come back to Brother Ali? Sisters? No? So no? Ali?
Assalamualaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
You mentioned that if Allah wished, He would have given the Quran to the heart of everyone. And obviously in some verses of the Quran it says that the Quran is a guide for all mankind. But in other verses it says that actually the Quran is only a guide for the muttaqi. So how does that relate in Talia?
No, I don't remember if I said if Allah wished He would have given it to everyone. I said that this is meant for everyone. This is revealed to us. Okay? However, because we don't have the capacity to receive it, Allah has put there a medium. That medium receives it and give it to us. Just like the beginning of Surah A'raf, He says, Kitabun unzila ilayk. This book is revealed to you. فَلَا يَكُنْ فِي صَدْرَكَ حَرَجٌ مِّنْ. Then it says, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Follow what has been revealed to you, to us, from your Lord. So this is the meaning. Now, it is a guidance for everyone. It's a guidance, it's a light for lil'alameen. However, again, some people can receive the light, some people cannot receive the light, through the Prophet. Initially, it comes to the Prophet, and from the Prophet to everyone. Now, after that, some people are capable of receiving it, those are muttaqin. Some people are not capable of receiving it, those are who are not muttaqi. So, in the actual fact, this is something, it's just like the air, which is everywhere. Some people breathe it, some people don't breathe it. That's the equation.
Thank you. Yes, sisters, take it up.
Alaykum, Sheikh.
Alaykum as-salam.
This has nothing to do with any of the things we've discussed today, but something that I have always, it has always come to my mind, and it's just to say a very heartfelt thank you to you for answering so many questions which always arise in our minds. And coming here is such a wonderful privilege that we have, and It answers so many questions that I have. I have found answers here, and I'm really grateful, not just to you as well. Of course, you do all this research, all this hard work, and bring this information and knowledge to us. But
you
I'm
have
also
to thank
grateful.
To Ali.
That's what I was going to say. I'm also grateful to Mahfil Ali for organizing these wonderful mornings that people can come to and benefit. That was what I was going to say next. Definitely. Thank you, everybody, so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sheikh, I've heard of a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says that the one who recites Salatul Layl every night and then says he's poor is a liar. Are we talking spiritual poverty or dollars and cents?
Yeah, that's the poverty in the sense of akhirah as well, apart from spiritual poverty. Is what these traditions want to say us is that richness and poverty is not judged only by material things. You shouldn't judge it only by material things. There are other things which you cannot imagine how precious and how valuable they are, and you may have it, and then you may just see that other people have other things that you don't have. We have this about other things as well. Anyone who has given knowledge of the Quran and thinks that someone has given anything better than it, لقد, as the Prophet said, لقد حقر عظيما وعظم صغيرا. It has actually undervalued something which is very huge, and overvalued something which is very little, the world. Yes, this is not, of course, poverty and riches of the world. And rizq as well doesn't only mean sustenance, like what we eat and what we wear and that. Rizq also is knowledge, rizq also is faith, and all these are rizq. However, this type of rizq is not destined by Allah before we decide it. So there is a rizq that we have to acquire it, and this is knowledge, faith, and other things.
Thank you. Any sisters? No, Manzu?
Alaykum as-salam. You mentioned that the people in hell will turn to Allah, and then Allah will still not accept their turning and take them out from the hell. And after a while, Allah may feel that they have turned, and He may take it out. But for a while, He will not accept their turning. If we look ourselves in this world, that we make a mistake and we make tawbah, and then we turn back and we do the same thing again. Is this a similar thing which will be continuing in hell, that what we do in world is we repeat the same thing again and again and not finally reform ourselves?
Yeah, almost the same thing. But the good thing about this world is that things are very easy. I mean, eventually you can really make a resolved decision. However, in hell it's very difficult to make that resolved decision, because it's now a nature. And therefore, the repentance is broken very quickly if they are out of that punishment. So there is a similarity and there is a difference as well.
Thank you, Deshnuk.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Just two questions. First of all, you said that there will be groups of people in heaven. But doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in one of the ayats that only He's going to accept Islam and not any other religion? And the second question is, you have definitely reassured us that not everyone is going to be asked questions in the grave. But we have been told on many, many occasions to recite Surah Mulk for the to get shafa from the punishment of the grave, and also that we've got to be prepared for all the questions which will eventually happen to everyone in the grave. Can you please clarify that?
Yeah. What was the first question? Sorry. Islam. Yes, of course. In the Quran, we have two verses. One is that Inna Dina Inda Allah Al Islam. And then the other says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغَ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Whoever follows any religion but Islam, it would not be accepted from him. But this Islam is a generic Islam, so to speak. Every religion of God has been Islam. So Christianity, Jesus preached Islam, Musa alayhi salam preached Islam, Ibrahim preached Islam, everyone preached Islam. And this, what this means is that there is no other way but submission to Allah. Islam here is used as its verbal meaning, just submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only religion. There is no other religion that you go to other things, worship other things, bringing shafa'a, there is not accepted. And the second question about was about
punishment of the grave.
Punishment is there. Punishment may be there, but not questioning for everyone. Yes, of course, you can do many, many different things that would reveal, would relieve your deceased ones from certain punishments in Barzakh. And this may happen in different stages. However, that doesn't mean that that final questioning is there. There may be some mild question. There may be, I don't know, because our traditions is very clear about this, that the questioning of the grave is only for man mahad al iman mahadan aw mahad al kufra mahadan, purely, purely goods, purely, purely evils. Other people, sa'irun nas yulha anhum. This yulha anhum, other people are left to themselves. Now, left to themselves means that if they are good, they would receive some reward. If they are bad, they would receive some punishment. They have punishment in Barzakh. When we say grave, we mean Barzakh, of course, not that special hole in which we are buried. We are left to ourselves and our a'mal. Until then, the final questioning comes and judgment comes. For those, if you are questioned, there is only two ways that you can be questioned. Categorically questioned. If you are purely good, then thanks God. You have just passed all those hard times in future which are going to come. You have just somehow jumped over all of them and directly go to paradise. Or purely evil ones which, like Pharaoh and others, which directly go to hell.
Thank you, Sheikh. Just as a last item, if you don't mind, please. I know your last discussion may lead us to the discussion on the plurality of the faiths, but apart from that, there's a question from, a suggestion from the lady's side that because we are now entered into a month of Zilhajj, if you could briefly explain us the importance of the month of Zilhajj, especially the first 10 nights, please, just very quickly, if you can.
Well, the first 10 nights, of course, some people firmly believe that these the 10 nights are the nights which Allah has set the appointment for Musa alayhi salam. Wa wa'adna Musa 30 laylatan wa atmamnaha bi'ash. That was in Zilqa'dah, and then it was completed by the 10 nights which are the nights of Zilhajj. And that's why in the salat of every night you recite this verse, that وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بَعَشْ فَتَمَّ مِقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً. And therefore, from this aspect it is very holy. From the other aspect is that the a'mal are done during these nights. People arrive in Mecca, they do their Umrah, and then they, on the 8th of Zilhajjah, they move out for Hajj, and therefore the overall value, spiritual value of these nights is somehow connected to A'mal of Hujjaj as well, and it leads to, of course, Eid. And you know, Muslims have two great Eids. Of course, there are other Eids, which like Eid al-Ghadir, like Jum'ah, but these two specifically, in which fasting is haram because Allah doesn't want us to somehow, he wants to reward us for what we have done, whether in Hajj or whether in Ramadan, in these 2 days. So this is the importance of the month of the Hajj, and also it's a month of haram. as Shahr al-Haram, and Shahr al-Haram has its a specific spiritual value, which in which the sins, if someone commits a sin, is doubled. If someone commits a charity, is doubled. So these are the qualities of the 10 nights.
Thank you, Sheikh. So we meet in on the third Sunday from now.
Third Sunday, inshallah.
So maybe nearer to the time of Muharram.
Inshallah. Yes.
Inshallah. Okay. Shukran, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Shalwar.
Thank you.